we hear the word endangered, we usually think about animals, I reckon, but did you know that sound and film recordings are also endangered? Well, much of the history of the 20th and 21st century has been recorded on film and tape, but neglect, natural decay and technological advances mean that all of this history is at a risk of vanishing forever. Well, today the United Nations is marking World Day for Audiovisual Heritage. And the theme is See, Hear and Learn. And it aims to highlight how important these historical recordings are and why we need to preserve them for future generations. This is especially important in places like the Pacific, where often the only recording of language is through audio recordings. Well, Nick Teeberger is from the Pacific and Regional Archive for Digital Sources in Endangered Cultures, and he's joining us now to talk about some of these issues. Nick, thanks for joining us on Radio Australia.
Fine, hi.
Now tell us first, why is audiovisual heritage so important?
Well, you've got to think of the region that we're talking about having, you know, over 1,000 languages, and most of those don't have any records, right? And most of them are oral. There are some written forms, often introduced by missionaries. But in terms of, you know, recordings and passing those languages on, if they're not spoken anymore, and this is happening increasingly, right, as people are shifting to metropolitan languages like French and English or, you know, Tokpizin or Bislama, then you're losing these languages. And so the records that we have are really valuable, and speakers of those languages are going back looking for these records. So the audio records of these languages are becoming sort of priceless records in some cases of languages that aren't spoken anymore.
Mm. So much of this thing would be recorded, I suppose, on the old reel-to-reel cassettes and maybe later on down the track some of it recorded on cassette tapes too, I would imagine?
Yep, that's right. But, you know, the earlier recordings, there were actually recordings made on wax cylinders and wire. This is, you know, these are really early recordings and then on discs, records. But, yeah, most of the recordings that we've got now are reel-to-reel tapes or cassettes. And, you know, often they're made by researchers who've gone out and, you know, their job is to record a language or they're working as anthropologists or something, and they're recording performances, people talking, people telling stories or people singing, you know, and these are all the things that are captured on these wonderful recordings. But then the tapes themselves, unless you've got some way of looking after them, you can't get that information off the tape. So in Australia, we have the National Film and Sound Archive, who do a really good job of looking after recordings, but it's not their job to look after recordings made in the Pacific. You know, they look after recordings made in Australia. So that's why our project was set up. We recognised that a lot of linguists and other researchers, musicologists, had these recordings sitting in their offices, but they didn't know what to do with them, and there was no one who was taking responsibility for digitising them, which means actually getting the signal off it, off the tape, and preserving it. And then, you know, you get all these other things you need to do. You need to describe it, you need to put it up on the web, you need to try and figure out who has rights, what the permissions are for all of this stuff.
Yep.
And ideally, you try and get it back to where it came from. So we've been, you know, digitising tapes recorded in Papua New Guinea in the 1950s and 60s, and then, you know, we get that back to, for instance, the Institute of Papua New Guinea Studies, or in Vanuatu, we've got a relationship with the Vanuatu Cultural Centre, and try and get these recordings back to at least the centre, because we don't have the resources to get them back out to the village, unfortunately.
Yeah. So do you think that there's still, I mean, obviously what you've got there sounds like quite a lot of material and an awful lot of work in archiving it and preserving it. Do you think there's still a lot of stuff out there, Nick, that hasn't been discovered yet?
Oh, I'm sure there's heaps. That's the trouble, you know. And especially if it's sitting in the Pacific, you know, in the climate that the Pacific has, and if you have lots of variation in temperature and humidity, then that's really good climate for destroying audio tapes. I collected some tapes from a speaker of Jehu from New Caledonia, and he'd had 10 tapes that he'd made in the 1980s, and he had them at home, and they were covered in mould, and they took a lot of work to clean, And then eventually we were able to clean them and to digitise them and give him back digital copies that he was then able to work with now.
I reckon that's a really good point you're making there, Nick, because I reckon there'd be a lot of people who'd maybe go through old boxes or whatever and they'd look at the tape and they'd say, oh, that's totally covered in mould, that'll be useless, you'll never be able to listen to it, and they'll just chuck it out. But these things can be saved, from what you're saying.
Yeah, they can, and you know, it's well known what sort of methods to use to get stuff back from that sort of condition. I mean, in some cases it may be irretrievably lost, but it's worth trying. And I know that, you know, cultural centres and museums in the Pacific have collections of tapes, and sometimes they're unique, sometimes they're the only copy of that tape, and it would be really good for us to be able to get out there and work with those agencies. But at the moment we don't have the resources, but we'd really like to do that. So, you know, I'm sort of inviting agencies, you know, the Solomon Islands Museum or somebody like that, if they have collections, we can help advise them on what to do, and we can also perhaps try and figure out ways to get funding to come and help digitise their collections.
Mm. Do you have things there that are tapes that you have no idea who it is or where it's come from? Oh, well, you probably have some idea of where it's come from, but that whole issue of identifying things when perhaps they haven't been properly documented, how much of a challenge is that?
Well, yeah, of course, that's a huge challenge. But often, because we are approaching this through collectors, so we know that a particular linguist worked in a particular area, we might know each of the languages that's on the tapes, but we know roughly where the area is. So what we're building at the moment, actually, is a way of putting this material online and inviting speakers or people from that area or linguists who've worked in that area to listen to it and say, oh yeah, I know that. Or, you know, the speaker may say, actually, that's my grandfather speaking and this is what he's saying. So we, at the moment, the focus of the project up till now has really been preserving this material, but what we'd like to do next is make it more available through streaming access and, you know, with the web. And now that people in all sorts of corners of the world are getting internet access, I think it's becoming more exciting, and the possibilities of, you know, actually hearing this material in the village that it came from are increasing through the use of mobile phones and this sort of thing. So that's the sort of framework we've got to build here, is a way of getting that material into shape so that people out there, once they do get this access, can then listen to these recordings.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, Nick, I mean, how far do you go when you're looking at preserving things that happened in the past, or how, what sort of things are you interested in? Like, for instance, if, you know, someone's auntie recorded the church choir back in 1970 at some village, you know, in Fiji, would you be interested in something like that if they just happened to have the cassette of it under, you know, in their cupboard?
Oh yeah, for sure. And we've had those kinds of things deposited. And, you know, typically things like field officers in PNG who, you know, made recordings when they were there. Missionaries, you know, who made recordings. We've got some wonderful collections, and they've come to us unsolicited. We haven't gone looking for these things, but the thing is that these, you know, missionaries or field officers recognise that they have a collection that needs to be looked after, and there isn't anywhere, you know, around. You know, if you put it into the state library or somewhere like that, the chances are that the tapes will be held, but they won't be digitised, and they won't be described in a way which lets people find them, you know, that actually describes the language and their area and that sort of thing, that allows you to search the web and find it that way.
Mm. Well, obviously this is a really important thing, to get these things digitised, and as you're saying, the fantastic opportunity to get them out on the net so people can listen to them all around the world, which I suppose is part of the reason why the UN is marking this World Day for Audiovisual Heritage. Do you think that's an important thing for the UN to be doing, and are you doing anything special for it?
Look, I think it's a critical thing. I've seen figures that say that there are, you know, however many hundreds of thousands of hours of audio tape that haven't been digitised. And, you know, over time, what's going to happen is the machines to play back those tapes aren't going to be available, and the tapes themselves are going to start falling to pieces because they're just, you know, they're magnetic media stuck on polyester or plastic or something like that, and that eventually they just fall off. So the sooner we can digitise all of this stuff, the better. And, you know, it's. I don't think it's that important for, you know, maybe radio broadcasts, but it's really important, I think, for these unique recordings And even if the language is still spoken, often it's changed over the last 50 years. So we've got records, you know, going back now 50 years in these recordings, mm-hmm. and they're really valuable to the speaker communities. They're valuable to research as well, but I think the real importance of it is making that available so that the descendants of speakers can listen to their grandparents and have that sort of continuity and link to traditional stories and performances. So yeah, it's critical. I think it's great the UN has made it a day, and we really need to realise that a lot of the early technologies that we embraced are now, you know, in danger of causing a lot of our heritage to be lost. So we need to move it on, we need to digitise it, and then we need to look after it even in digital form, because that's very fragile too. So yeah, this is all part of, you know, going out there, finding this material, describing it, and hopefully making it available in the future.
Just finally, Nick, if someone is listening to this and they think, actually, I think I have got a recording stored away in that drawer somewhere, what can they do? How do they contact you?
Well, our website is paradisec.org.au. That's paradisec.org.au, and you'll find all the details there. But yeah, I'd be happy to hear from anybody who has collections of this kind.
Well, Nick Teeberger, thanks so much for joining us, and happy World Day for Audiovisual Heritage.
Thanks very much for your attention.
Okay, have a good day. Bye for now.